Well, howdy, everyone. Thanks again for joining in. I'm really, really thankful just for the opportunity to communicate what it's like to know another day in the life of Jesus lived through us. So that's what you wake up to. If you're in Christ, you wake up in Christ to another day in the life of Jesus lived through you. That's amazing. That's the wonder of the good news. Today, particularly, I want to talk about doing life from the emotions of Jesus. So let me say that again. Doing life from the emotions of Jesus. Now, instead of being controlled by our own independent emotions, actually living in union with and doing life from the very emotions of Jesus. He talks about that. Let me read some verses to you. This is from John 14. John 14, Jesus says to them, "Let not your heart be troubled." And again, in chapter 14, verse 27, he says in the last part of that verse, "Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And one more. We'll look at these again in a minute. These things, Jesus says in John 16, 33, "These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage." Now, Jesus declares that in this world, this fallen world, you're going to have tribulation. Now, the word tribulation can be translated tribulation, or trials, or testing, or temptation. It's the same word in the original language. So in this world, things happen, and they're testing, and they're trials, and they're tribulation. It's in the temptations of life. But so having promised us that, Jesus says twice in John 14:1, John 14:27, "Let not your heart be troubled." And the language there is written in such a way, it's actually a command, but it's a command that's written grammatically like this: stop letting your heart be troubled. The one in John 14, 27 said, stop letting your heart be troubled and fearful. Now, there are times in this life where our heart is saddened, or our heart can even be broken about things. You know, there are places that can cause sorrow. I've mentioned this verse a lot lately. Paul said that. He said, "I sorrow," but then he said in the same verse, "yet I'm always rejoicing." So that's different than the sorrow of this world. The word troubled, when he says, "let not your heart be troubled or fearful," that word carries the idea of discouragement, of fear, anger, despair. Let not your heart be that. Now, Jesus didn't just tell them, he's not just saying to them, don't let your heart be troubled, so do what you got to do to not let that happen. To live the Christian life like that is to live the Christian life as if you think you're an independent self from Christ. You are an individual self. We all have our own unique personality, you know, those kind of things that make us uniquely who we are as individuals. But you aren't an independent self. Jesus said that you and I have been bought with a price. Well, if you've been bought with a price, been bought, you're no longer independent. He says in Colossians that he's your very life. Now, when Christ, who is your life, before that, he says, for you died, the independent self died, the one who was separate from God, under the condemnation of a broken law, a spiritual law. He says, you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ and God. That's not an independent self. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. There's a me, but there's Christ living in me. I'm not an independent self. I'm an individual self, but I'm now one with him. In John 14, just before verse 27 that I read, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things. Now, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, who the Father sends in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit doesn't come to live in us in his own name. He comes to us in the name of Jesus. He comes to make real in us the very life of Christ. He's our tour guide into this union with Christ. And he comes as our helper. He helps us by teaching us how to walk this way. Jesus said he was the way. He was the truth and the life. He's the very life. He is the Christian life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And this way of life isn't just something Jesus teaches us and then says, now go live it. Go do your best. No, he's not just the way. He's the life. And he's the one who lives that way. It's the way of life that he lives. Again, the language that I used when I began is, and I would really encourage you to kind of put this in your heart. Memorize these words. Christianity is not something you can memorize. It's a relationship, but there are things we can digest and become part of us that helps us to, the Holy Spirit uses to teach us that when you wake up in the morning, you're waking up to another day in the life of Jesus lived through you, through your individual self, but you're not an independent self. Christ is your life and Christ is living through you. And so when often for Christians, when the Holy Spirit's teaching us all things, he's teaching us how to abide in Christ. He's teaching us how to live from Christ and not just for Christ. An example would be, let's just say you're struggling with anger. Try to living for Christ is owning your anger, embracing your anger, and then sorting through your anger so that you'll be more like Christ. That's living for Christ. To live from Christ is realize that Jesus, who lives in you, doesn't live an angry life. And therefore, you simply surrender, sink into him in childlike faith, thanking him now for living out his life through you, which is not one of anger. Jesus doesn't do troubled hearts. He understands, he has compassion, he wants to heal us of those things, but he himself personally doesn't walk around with a troubled heart. That's who you've been joined with. Can Jesus participate in a broken heart? Yes. Can he participate in a heart that's saddened over somebody's brokenness? Yes. When a heart gets broken over somebody's behavior, their self-destructive behavior, is that healthy? Yes. But that doesn't mean that you get discouraged. You live in disappointment, despair, and anger. Jesus doesn't do that. It's not just that we lean into him. You have to realize Jesus is leaning into us. We're one. We're in union. And so we're able to walk through difficult places. And even when there's sadness, we can walk through that without moving into or walking into darkness. Jesus is light, and he doesn't walk in darkness. Now, let me give you some stuff here. This is interesting. So I read to you earlier when Jesus said in John 14, he says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. In verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not be fearful. See, Jesus' solution to your troubled heart, to a heart of disappointment and anger and frustration, of fearfulness, his solution is his peace, his emotion of peace. Peace is not just a thought, it's emotion, it's a real deal. His emotional peace, the rest of God, R-E-S-T, his rest in your heart. Down in chapter 15, verse 11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you. Really? And that your joy may be made full. So Jesus' joy is in me? Well, of course. Jesus is in me. Jesus is my life. Jesus is living through me. Therefore, I get to live from the joy of Jesus. And if that's true about joy, it's true about peace, it's true about love, it's true about patience, it's true about et cetera, et cetera. So I don't have to live with a troubled heart. I can live from the peace and the joy of Jesus. That verse I read to you earlier, let me just read it to you again. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world. and earlier, the chapter 14, verse 1, I've read this other verses a number of times, but I want to, over the last months, but I want you to hear it again. Let not your heart be troubled. You've believed in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many abiding places. If it were not so, the abiding place is that place in Christ. I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Went to the cross to prepare a place in him for us, in his life. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So Jesus' solution to our brokenness, Jesus' solution to our fallenness, what salvation is Christ has taken us to himself, so that where he is, we are also. We are now joined to him. We're joined to his peace. We're joined to his joy. We're joined to his love. We're joined to his patience. We're joined to his strength, etc., etc., etc. So, having said that, if someone comes into my office and something's going on in their life and they're frustrated and angry, and if my answer to them is, well, you know, just go embrace your anger, embrace your frustration, go embrace your disappointment, work your way through that, you know, but don't suppress them, own your emotions, be honest with yourself, and then work your way through it, and then try to be like Christ when it's all done. That's really not biblical. That's the way the world tells us things. That's the perspective of the world, treating you as if you were an independent self. You're an individual self who's in union with Christ, who has healthy emotions at all times. The person who had unhealthy emotions, the independent self who had no control over their fallenness, that person died on the cross of Christ. You're now in union with the resurrected Jesus. And what would be a better answer, a biblical answer to that person would be, is, you know, there's a place in Luke 9, let me stop there and interrupt myself. In Luke 9, it says, take up your cross daily and deny yourself and follow him. Now, taking up my cross daily means that I live in the conscious reality that I died and Christ is now living in me. And when I'm tempted to say, well, I'm just disappointed and I'm discouraged and I'm just going to try to sort my way through it, but I'm going to own those are real emotions, that kind of thing. What I'm saying is that I'm still that old self, that all he can do is work through their stuff, owning their stuff, owning their emotions. You see, that self that rises up in me and I'm tempted to be disappointed and be discouraged, to be angry, you know, whatever, to that self, that fallen false self, I deny that fallen false self. That's not me. I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation in Christ. And his joy and his peace and his emotions, that's what's real about me. That's the heart and the substance of the new self. Christ is all and in all. And so if I say to myself, no, I'm not going to own this discouragement, I'm not going to own this disappointment, I'm not denying my emotions. I'm not being a phony. I'm denying that fallen false self, because what's true about me is what God says is true about me. The two most important things in the world is, one, A.W. Tozer says, what you believe about God is the most important thing about you. Secondly, what you believe God believes about you is the second most important thing. And what God believes is that we're in Christ. What's true is that we're in Christ. And that he says that his joy in me and his joy make me full. His joy is always in me, and his joy make my joy full. It's in his peace, in him I have peace. His peace it gives to me, not as the world gives. Because the world gives peace that's determined on how things are working out. His peace has nothing to do with that. It's just who he is. You with me? You hearing me? So it's not, when we do that to people, that we tell them, well, just own your anger and don't suppress yourself. Just own your anger and work through it. We're telling them, you're still the old independent self doing your best now for God, for Jesus. Instead, we can tell them, you know what? What's true about you is that Jesus is your life. and he's not disappointed. He's not frustrated. He's not discouraged. He's not despairing. He's not hopeless. Sink into him, his joy, his peace. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but let not your heart be troubled or fearful, because you have his peace. You have his joy. Just sink into that. Just surrender to that and say thank you. And allow Christ himself to live his life through you in that moment, and his emotions now to take over. I hope you hear what I'm saying. See, one of the things that's happened in this generation is we've so elevated transparency, and transparency is a good thing, that being honest about your emotions is the highest form of spirituality. We sing songs about it. We write books about it. Well, you see, the scripture says, I need to be honest about my weakness. But he says, but in your weakness, his strength is made perfect. If all you stop at is owning your weakness and embracing your weakness and celebrating your weakness, then you're left with a troubled heart. But if in your weakness you sink into him, you surrender to him, and you trust him now in that moment to live his life through you, his joy, his peace, his patience, whatever it might be, then you're now living from his untroubled heart, even though you may be going through some troubled times, even though there will be tribulation and things go on. There could even be sadness, or there could be a broken heart. But even in that, it's his peace in us that's ruling, his joy, his patience, his hope. We live by his faith, and his faith is unwavering. I love 2 Timothy 2:13. If you watch this enough or read my stuff enough, you'll hear me quote it a lot. You know, it says, even when we believe not, he abides faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Wow. You see, even when I'm not trying to believe, I'm simply trusting in the fact that he's faithful. And that's what faith is. Living from him, living from his, how he sees things, living from the mind of Christ, living from his emotions. I can be honest about what's happening. I can be honest about my weakness, but I'm not going to live in them. I'm not going to live from them. I'm not going to abide in them. I'm going to abide in him and live from his strength being made perfect in my weaknesses. Well, I trust that you'll have a good rest of the day. I trust that you'll stop and remember that this is just another day. The rest of this day is just another day in the life of Jesus, lived through your humanity, through your individuality, in your unique circumstances, in the world that you live in, and that you'll wake up tomorrow, again remembering, it's just another day in the life of Jesus, lived out through me, no matter what tribulation you may be facing. Therefore, you can live without living in or embracing a troubled heart as some kind of normal, because it's not. That's not who you are anymore. That's the fallen false self. Okay, have a great rest of the day.